Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Enel Chile's Q1 2021 results conference call. My name is Buena, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants' lines are in the listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors are described in the Enel Chile's press release reporting in its Q1 2021 results. The presentation accompanying this conference call and Enel Chile's annual report Form 20-F, including under risk factors. You may access our Q1 2021 results press release and presentation on our website, www.enel.cl, and our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which speak only as of their dates. Enel Chile undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or to disclose any development as such result of which these forward-looking statements become accurate, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Ms. Isabel Cremers, Head of Investor Relations of Enel Chile. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning to you all, and welcome to Enel Chile first quarter 2021 results presentation. Thank you all for joining us today. I hope this finds you well and your family as well. I am Isabel Cremers, Head of Investor Relations. Our presentation and related financial information are available in our website in the investors section. A replay of the call will be also available. There will be an opportunity to ask questions after the presentation via phone or the chat through the link Ask a Question. Joining me this morning, our CEO, Paolo Paolotti, and our CFO, Giuseppe Turchiarelli. In the following slide, Paolo will open the presentation with the main highlights on business and operational performance. Giuseppe will walk you through our financial results. Let me remind you that media participants are connected only in listening mode. As always, our IR team will continue to be available to provide you with any detailed information we may need concerning the figures included in this presentation. Thank you all for your attention, and let me now hand over to Paolo. Paolo?
Thank you, Isabel. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. Let me start with the main highlights of the period on slide two. We continue to reinforce our leadership in the renewable market, growing with renewable capacity additions. We are adding 1.3 GW of renewable projects under construction on an installed base of 1.2 GW already in operation. We recently announced agreement with IM2 Solar to develop 10 distributed small-scale projects, adding 75 MW by 2022. During the first quarter, we have closed the transaction for the factoring of accounts receivable related to the application of the transitory mechanism for stabilizing electricity prices, totaling $180 million in nominal terms. For the first time since the creation of Enel Chile, the AGM held on the past 28th of April appointed two women for the position of director, tackling the diversity at board level. We continue to advance in our commitment to promote inclusion and diversity within our organization. Lastly, the AGM has also approved the dividend proposal to be paid on May 28th, reaching an amount of 3.077 Chilean pesos per share, not affecting our shareholder remuneration, with accounting effect related to the impairment made during 2020. Let's now have a look on our decarbonization and renewables development. We constantly seek new ways to boost the energy transition, generate business opportunities, and push efficiency and innovation in all our business lines. Under this approach, we have developed different projects and initiatives as part of our action to tackle the climate change and to continue promoting the energy transition and the circular economy. As an example, we have connected the first 3 out of 10 small solar plants known in Chile as EMGD as part of the agreement signed with IM2. In the first phase of this project, during 2021 and early 2022, we will secure 75 megawatts of solar storage capacity direct connected to medium voltage network in the central region of the country, close to high consumption areas. Finally, as we already announced, we are currently developing different innovative projects, always embracing the opportunities of energy transition and the efficiency of our operations, as, for instance, the first scale wave energy converter in Chile. Now, on our capacity under construction, in page 4. We are finalizing 1.3 gigawatt of capacity under construction. Most of those projects will enter into operation during this year, contributing to the country decarbonization process. This will be a milestone for the energy transition, both for us and for the country. Regarding our solar facilities, during the second half of the year, we will finish the construction of Campo del Sol, Alabache, Domenico, Sol de Lila, Finisterre, and part of the first phase of the PMGD project previously mentioned. The construction of those projects has been and continues to be very challenging, considering all the headwinds we are facing since the pandemic outbreak, including lockdown restrictions, delays in the environmental licenses, delays on archaeological permits, and most recently, the closure of the country's borders that prevent specialized technicians from the renewable industry to commission some plants. Now let me give some detail on market conditions that drove the price volatility during the first quarter. Go on page 5. During the first months of this year, we saw a combination of factors that led to a very unusual situation for the Chilean electricity system. On one hand, the system had less water availability at the beginning of the year, with 25% less potential energy stored in reservoirs. On the other hand, since October 2020, the Chilean market showed a deficiency in the natural gas availability due to the interruption of Argentina gas supply, which became more critical at the beginning of 2021. Since the first month of 2021, we put in place some action to improve the availability of gas and started buying additional LNG cargoes, first of all, to supply our plants in the center of the country, and then negotiating access to Mejillones LNG terminal to supply our natural gas power plant in the north. During the second half of March, we have started selling natural gas to other generators. Within this framework, we were the generator that maintained the supply of LNG for its plant during that period. And at the same time, we operate our hydro facility, achieving a degeneration of 2.1 terawatt hour, contributing to half of the national hydroelectric generation. All these actions allow us to generate with our CCGT plants in the country's central areas, and to reduce the pressure on marginal prices during April. Let's move to the next slide, where I can explain why we believe that this is not a structural imbalance on the Chilean system and the challenge that we need to push. As you can see on the left side, marginal costs strongly increased during the first quarter, moving from an average of $50 per megawatt hour during first quarter 2020 to $75 per megawatt hour in first quarter 2021. This reflects the condition already presented, primarily the result of hydrological conditions and the lower LNG and Argentine gas availability in the market, which led to the system to generate with diesel wind powers. In this regard, we strongly believe that renewable growth based on solar and wind is a key to continue to reduce the exposure to wind to hydro availability and commodities. We also believe that the situation we have seen in recent months is not an unusual situation, but rather a short-term one-off condition of the market. In addition, we think that natural gas will continue to play a leading role during the energy transition to maintain and guarantee supply and price stability. In this regard, Enel Chile will continue to be a player in this technology. We firmly believe that, as a transitional decision, any new proposal on technical rules, via norma tecnica on LNG usage, should guarantee system security and price stability, since this technology is the enabler of the energy transition which complements the viability of renewable sources. Finally, we have a 1.2 gigawatt portfolio of BESS projects in pipeline in different stages for development, ready to be executed. As soon as the regulation will be ready for this technology. Battery energy storage systems are the additional option to reach more stability and diversification for the Chilean energy system. Now let's move to electrification on page 7. During the first quarter of the year, we assigned a partnership with Solimac to develop an infrastructure plan and install charging points in their store through the country. It's worth highlighting that we have already installed charging points in its corporate building and distribution center to supply its new last-mile electric trucks. On the same line, thanks to an alliance with Anglo American, we have finished our first electric charging public station. It features 12 high-power charging points for public and private use under the charging as a service model. This agreement allows Anglo American to use the terminal for 8 years and supply their fleet of 17 buses that the company uses to transport their staff. Continuing with the electrification and sustainability strategy, along with the municipality of Peñarolén, the Energy Sustainability Agency, and the Minister of Energy, we have inaugurated 5 sustainable sports centers using a mix of technology, which not only reduces the carbon footprint, but also generates savings to the municipality. Regarding the Smart Cities initiatives, with the support of the Secretary of Telecommunications, we are developing the first smart park in the La Florida district, which integrates smart lighting, analytical cameras, Wi-Fi, USB chargers, panic buttons, among other solutions. Now network, page 8. The distributed energy reflects the impact from the extended lockdown, which was partially offset by residential consumption. Our investment in digitalization and action plan have allowed us to provide more efficiency and agility, increasing the quality of our service and recovering the total loss rate to 5%, despite all the logistics restrictions we have faced. Enel Distribution app reached more than 470,000 downloads, 81% higher than March 2020 cumulative figures. This confirms the improvement of our digital channels to stay in contact with our clients. On the regulatory side, the final report on distribution reference model is expected to be published during the second quarter of this year. As a consequence, the regulator technical report that will fix the new tariff definitions should be presented in November. Any discrepancy between the regulator and companies' positions can be challenged in the panel of expert instance. Consequently, we expect the release of the final distribution tariff decree during the first half of 2022. Regarding transmission tariff cycle 2020-2023, we expect the regulator's report fixing the new tariff cycle to be issued in the second quarter, which can also be challenged in the panel of expert instance. transmission tariff decree is expected to be published between the end of 2021 and early 2022. Let's move to slide 9. Our efforts on digitalization have also allowed us to maintain our collection level at 98%. In that sense, today, 80% of the interactions with our clients are made by digital channels. Considering the negative economic effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, to support the most vulnerable clients, we have already promoted ad hoc payment agreements before the approval of the basic service law. Today, Congress is discussing the condition for the extension of the second version of that law. In our view, the problem was being allowed to grow without looking for long-term impacts on clients. It's time to look for a comprehensive and stable solution that would prevent the most vulnerable families from accumulating an increasingly heavy backpack of debt. The state participation became fundamental to develop a recovery scheme, with the state itself becoming part of it to help to recover the debt of people who need it most. Thank you, and now I hand over to Giuseppe.
Thanks, Paolo. Let me start with a summary of our financial highlights on slide 11, which we will go through details in the following slides. But first, I will explain the adjustments we made in our first quarter 2021 figures. For the first quarter 2021, we have adjusted EBITDA and net income, considering the effect arising from the coal stock impairment associated to Boccamina 2, our last coal-fired power plant. The coal stock impairment had an effect of $15 million in EBITDA and $10 million at the bottom line. All the details are described in the bottom of the slide. In the following slide, I will address in more detail each of these figures. Now, we will start reviewing the details of our CapEx allocation on slide 12. In the first Q 2021, our CapEx reached $272 million, mainly dedicated to the construction of our new renewable capacity. Customer CapEx reached a total of $13 million, in line with the first Q 2020. The CapEx was mainly allocated to build new connection and maintain the supply continuity. Asset management CapEx reached $24 million, 42% higher than the first Q 2020, mainly due to higher maintenance activity in distribution, work in the low and middle tension grid, and digitalization projects in renewables. As of March 2021, development CapEx reached almost $235 million, a $134 million higher than last year period, largely driven by renewable expansion and development of our distribution business to continue the digitalization of our network. Let's now start with the Q first adjusted EBITDA breakdown on slide 13 that accounted $220 million, 18% lower versus 2020 figures, mainly due to challenging hydrological conditions, mainly to a more intensive generation in the 4Q 2020 during the melting season, decreasing the hydro dump reservoir, combined with the lack of gas in the system, resulted in higher spot price, which increased the cost of energy purchases required to supply our contracted demand. Negative PPA margin effect mainly associated with the lower price of our regulated PPA due to the commodity indexation, new agreement starting the period as Anglo-America and new contract coming from the Enel distribution free customer portfolio at the beginning of the year, and lastly, around 50% of the negative variance is explained by the appreciation of Chilean pesos in the period versus last year period, considering that our Book currency is in Chilean pesos, and our PPA are US denominated. Network business variances are coming from lower demand, mainly in regulated customers due to the continuity of the lockdown restrictions, provision of lower remuneration on distribution tariff, which should be retroactive to November 2020. All these effects were partially offset by $29 million of the positive effect from the net commodity coverage, $8 million of lower depreciation of Chilean pesos versus US dollar related to our US dollar loans, and $8 million due to the lower effect of the stabilization mechanism account readjustment and efficiency in OPEX in generation business. Let me now give you more detail about the generation KPI on page 14. Our first quarter generation reflects a less efficiency mix as a result of a lower availability compared to the first quarter of last year, which was partially offset by other renewables and thermal production. Our energy sales shows a reduction in the regulated energy due to lower demand and termination of PPA from the 26th auction, more than offset by the increase in the free market because of the new contract as Anglo America and retail clients coming from the Enel distribution as a part of the unbundling regulation. For what concerns our sourcing, on top of the already mentioned production variances, we accounted for an increase of 0.3 of purchases coming from spot market and 0.6 related to the portfolio of contracts coming from distribution retail business. In the next slide, we present a summary of the performance of our generation business, including Enel Generación Chile and Enel Green Power Chile, and of our network business, including Enel Distribución and Enel Transmisión. The main variances between the period were already explained in the slide number 13. Now, on slide 16, let's go through the main driver of our group net income. D&A and bad debt reached $76 million, a variance of $16 million, mainly related to the lower D&A in energy generation, mainly due to the impairment made in Bocamina in 2020. Net financial results totaled an expense of $52 million, an increase of $16 million, mainly due to higher cost related to the factoring executed in generation business on the stabilization mechanism account. This effect was partially offset by the higher financial expense capitalized in the first Q 2021 and lower financial cost of debt due to the Chilean pesos appreciation versus US dollar. Income tax and minority reflect the impact related to the lower EBITDA and higher financial expense. Moving to the cash flow on slide 17, first Q 2021 FFO reached $213 million, higher than the previous year figures, mostly due to higher net working capital, mainly explained by the cash received from the factoring of stabilization mechanism account and client receivable in distribution, totaling amount almost $200 million. The transmission line sale in 2020, with a cash impact this year of $29 million, purchases of e-buses during the first quarter of last year, and lower new accounts of the stabilization mechanism. Higher income tax during first Q 2021, mainly explained by higher income tax payment this year in generation business. And higher financial expenses, mainly explained by the cost of factoring of the stabilization mechanism account. Let me now go through our debt on slide 18. Our gross debt of March 2021 is in line with December 2020, amounting to $3.99 billion. Our net debt in the period compared with January 1st, 2021 increased $79 million directly associated with our intense CapEx plan associated to the 1.3 gigawatt under construction that will start bringing EBITDA in the second half of the year. The average cost of our debt is quite stable, reaching 4.7% in the first Q 2021. The cost of debt should remain stable during 2021. Let me highlight that we have just issued our first SDG intercompany debt of $300 million with maturity of 10 years and 2.5% rate, a very competitive interest rate demonstrating the recognition of our de-risking strategy. The new SDG loan considers as a KPI the CO2 emission of our generation fleet by 2023. In terms of debt amortization, our schedule remains very smooth, with an average of 6 years and around $300 million annually maturing in the next 3 years. In terms of liquidity, we maintain the level of $0.9 billion, giving us flexibility to face potential headwinds in the market. Now, I will hand over to Paolo.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Let's go to closing remarks. Despite the challenging circumstances, Enel Chile is taking all the necessary action to mitigate the impact of the drought that is affecting the country and the effect that COVID-19 has caused to achieve the guidance for 2021. Our clients will remain at the center of our strategy. It will be the focus of our effort in improving service, improving the customer experience, based on our digital operations. This year, our decarbonization plan will be focused on the execution of our renewable project to achieve our 2.4 gigawatt of new capacity as target proposed in our 2021-2022 plan. Our business resilience and sustainable strategy are supported by our balance sheet strength and long-term vision, especially against the sector headwinds that we were facing. Thank you for your attention, and let me now open the Q&A session. I will hand over to Isabella.
Thank you. As anticipation, we will receive questions via phone and chat in the webcast on this occasion. The Q&A section is open. Buena, operator, please, you may start.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, and press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Your first question is from Murillo Ruccini of Santander. Your line is open.
Hello, Paolo, Giuseppe, and Isabella. Thanks for the call. My first question, do you expect higher provisions in the coming quarters due to the extension of the pandemic? And could you give us an update on the last talks and developments on the basic service law? The second one, if you are expecting to review your guidance during the coming months. And the last one, if you could elaborate a bit more on the storage plan. Are the batteries you will be installing related to the arbitrage of marginal prices or are more focused on providing complementary services? How are you seeing the investment costs in these technologies that you have access to, and when do you expect the installation of this type of technologies to accelerate in Chile? Thank you.
Thank you, Murillo, for your question. Let's start for the answer on basic service law. Okay, you see, you know that there is a long debate here in Chile about this law. It has been extended at the first time in first day on the first days of January. Now, the deadline
is the 5th of May, and the discussion is to, let's say, there are the current situation is that there are two project or law coming from the Camera and coming from the Senate that will be collapsed into one and will be voted soon. So, and the content of this project law is quite easy in the sense that the content is just to extend the deadline until the end of this year and to extend the number of payments that could be allowed to the clients up to 48 quotas. And let's say the last change is to enlarge the perimeter of clients that are allowed to access to a special agreement for such repayment to 80% of the clients that are in the social register in Chile. This is the current situation. Then the evolution is, could be approved, the law could be approved in very, very, very soon. At the same time, there was a debate ongoing that introduced for the first time a different approach, in the sense that there is a growing understanding of the impact that this simple extension may have on clients. And this could be subject to, a technical analysis, a technical table between the Senate and the government in order to fix certain rules to involve also the state of Chile in order to, define a scheme to recover the debt that, in a different solution, may grow too much, and then at the end of the lapse of the law, maybe early 2022, could be too big for the family that should have to pay the current bill plus the amortization of the debt. So this is a parallel discussion ongoing that may drive to approve a different scheme for the recovering of the debt. And this is, this is an important element because for the first time there is, on the table the discussion on the involvement of the state that we think is essential to solve this problem. At the same time, there is another element that should be addressed, that is to give to the companies, the distribution companies, the availability to cut certain segment of clients that are not vulnerable according to the definition of the law, but they are not paying their bills because they cannot be cut off for their unpaid bills. So this is an element that should help a lot to recover a situation that, for the time being, is going forward according to the, the rules fixed to the first from the first basic service law issue on August. So this is the current situation. Clearly, we are very interested in looking at the evolution, and we are, eager to understand what could be the outcome of this technical table that will take place. Regarding the guidance, we do not issue any change today. Clearly, we are working to recover the gap that we have at the first quarter, and then we have an action plan in order to realign our results. We'll see in the next month what could be the outcome of the action plan. Regarding the storage, clearly storage is, we think that storage is an essential element in the system. And we see storage together linked with renewable facility, especially with solar facility. This is a clear and easy explanation regarding that, because it's clearly can stabilize the flow of the energy, can, let's say, provide the most stable capacity availability to the system, and should help also the flow of the energy from the north to the center, that is the higher consumption area. So these are only part of the, let's say, additional services that the storage can provide to the system. And we think that we are waiting for, let's say, a clear regulation that can give us the possibility to start with the installation of our pipeline that we have already. Let's say we have ready some project. We can go and install as soon as the regulation will be ready. Clearly, our position, we see a position in between power arbitrage, but with a focus on providing additional services to the system.
Many thanks, Paolo.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew McCarthy of Credicorp Capital. Your line is open.
Good morning, Paolo, Giuseppe, Isabella. Thank you very much for the presentation and the questions. I have three questions. The first one, just on the on the guidance and the likelihood of hitting the 1.5 to 1.5. The $1.4 to $1.5 billion target for this year. Just trying to think through, what needs to now go right for that to be achievable. I mean, maybe could you talk a little bit about, what you need to happen in terms of the hydrology, the availability of gas, the proper operation of coal plants in the system on the generation side of the business. And what you're seeing maybe today on those fronts and whether that's maybe going to help in the coming weeks drive down a little bit obviously the spot market prices. That's my first question. Then my second question is, I was wondering if you could provide a bit more color on the, what sort of the margin is you might be expecting to make on, in this PMGD business. You talked there about, 75 megawatts between 2021 and 2022. How much scale maybe that business could have, more longer term. And then the final question, a more specific question, just trying to understand the saving you saw in the net commodities coverage of $29 million in the quarter, whether that was a one-time effect or not. Those are my three questions. Thanks very much.
Okay, I will take the first two and I leave the last to Giuseppe. Okay, regarding guidance, question that where I can answer and as a general element to share with you guys. So clearly, our numbers are affected by hydrology, as you correctly mentioned. So we have our current forecast rebased on the what happened during the first 4 months, and clearly this can have an positive or negative effect depending on what could be the evolution. There is the contribution of our project that is important in reaching our guidance, and we are focused on the development of the project in order to meet the deadline. Clearly, as I mentioned, the situation is not very easy because with the impact of the pandemic is still strong, and so as also affecting, as I mentioned, the possibility of having people entering the country in order to support our operation on site.
So this is a matter of timing. It's not a matter of impossibility, clearly. But in any case, has an effect on this. Regarding gas availability, we are entering into a season where our plan and our, let's say, deadlines regarding the delivery of the ship, the shipping of the LNG according to our contract is in time and it's online. So we do not expect any external event on this. Clearly, an important effect could have in the last part of the year regarding the availability of Argentinian gas. You know, there is, messages, information regarding the new availability, so the export from Argentina will start again according to the previous agreement, but we will see on September, October that everything is working well. So this could be an external event that today we can foresee, we expect that we will come online on a regular basis, but we cannot, let's say, strongly commit on this for the time being. So these are, as I mentioned, and clearly we are also working internally in order to find internal action to recover certain elements to confirm, to, let's say, recover the gap. This is what I can comment. Regarding your second question is the margin of the PMDG, is reflecting on our numbers. What I could mention is that the starting point, so it's an important agreement that we see in order to have a solar facility in the central area of the country. This is something that could help to, let's say, support our generation and to provide electricity to according to our contract. And clearly is a competitive generation based on solar. Regarding the third element, I leave the point to Giuseppe.
Well, in general, of course, the policy we use to cover our exposure to the commodities. So actually, you know, which will be the effect in the following month, we're gonna depend on the trend of the commodity. As of today, we got this positive impact in comparison with the last year. Let's see how the trend is going and how the commodity is going to be.
Operator, I don't know, Andrew, if you have any other questions.
Oh, yes, we still have another question. It's from Sarah Guccinini of Mediobanca. Your line is open. Sarah, your line is open.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Sarah, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for taking my questions. The first question is on working capital evolution. We see the positive effect on working capital in this first quarter. If you can comment to the dynamics behind that and how do you see the evolution during 2021? The second question is on the impact the negative impact that you had in the first quarter related to the PPA margin. Do you see this impact to continue also in the coming quarters? And if yes, what are the dynamics behind that? And third question is on the regulatory review on networks. If you had any contact with the regulator and what do you expect from this review? And last one is on the, if you can update on the evolution of the free market and the impact that you see on the company's margin. Many thanks.
Okay, thank you, Sarah, for your question. I will take the last two and leave the first two to Giuseppe. Regarding networks, the two tariff revisions are ongoing. There is clearly a contact, a formal contact with the regulator, because there is a committee composed by representative of the company that has a regular meeting with the regulator. The working for the time being regarding distribution, the activity is in the end of the regulator, especially in the end of the consultant to the regulator, in order to receive to have the report on the reference model, and then based on this report, the regulator will issue his internal report. So this is the moment when we will see the way in which the regulator will fix the tariff. And then clearly there will be a debate on this, and if there will be discrepancy between the position of the companies and the position of the report of the regulator, there will be a discussion in the panel of experts. This requires time. For the time being, what we think is that this discussion will take place in the second half of this year, so the issuing at the end of this year, and the decree for distribution will be fixed by within the first half of 2022. The process on the distribution, the transmission is more advanced, and we see that, we think that can be fixed by the end of this year, early next one, early 2022. But clearly, there are event of meeting with the regulator, formal, and then there will be the formal review of the report issued by the regulator. Regarding the second question, and the evolution of the free market. For the time being, there is no step ahead in terms of the portability law, if this is the reference of your question, in the sense that after the presentation of the project at Congress level, there was an initial debate about the scope of this law, and then everything has been freeze. You see that today the focus of the Congress for with referring to the energy sector is more on the basic service law rather than other change in the sector. Regarding the attitude of the current situation, clearly there are some activity, the residual client that can opt to go to the free market are moving, but it's very residual compared to the size that we have, the overall size of the free market. To Giuseppe.
Yeah. So for what concerns the networking capital, as I said when I talked about the slide 17, the variation is coming, first of all, because of the factoring of the stabilization mechanism account and the factoring that we are doing for some receivable in our distribution company. Clearly, we are going ahead with this factoring. We believe that during the first quarter we are going to going ahead with the factoring of the stabilization mechanism around other $3 million between the second Q and the third Q. And the other impact that could be affected the networking capital in the future, of course, are the implementation of the basic service law, and because of that we need to understand a little bit better how is going to be designed. And of course we have a significant amount of capex spend, so this is the third impact that could have in our net working capital for the following months. For what concern negative PPA margin, I will repeat again which are the variation, the reason of the variation. First of all, I said the commodity indexation in regulated PPA. Now, the commodity, the reference of the commodity have a lag, a time lag of 6 months, so basically the index are related to the previous 6 months. And again, if I think about the future month, we need to understand how will be the evolution of the commodity that are the basis for the PPA, regulated PPA. For what concerns the second reason, that is basically this new contract with Anglo American and the contracts that are coming from energy distribution, this kind of impact should be remained, because basically our portfolio, the generation portfolio, is going to change according to this new contract. And for what concerns the last impact that was around 50% of this negative variance, this is just a result of the fact that our book is in pesos. So, considering the fact that we got an appreciation of the Chilean peso this year, and since the following year is going to be according to the same trend, clearly when you compare dollar versus dollar, you're going to have such a negative impact. Just to let you know, last year, quite few last year, the average exchange rate pesos US dollar was above 800 pesos per dollar, and this year, the first Q, we had 723 pesos per dollar average in the last 3 months. So, considering the different exchange rates, also in the following month, according to the estimation that we see in the market, we're going to have a certain level of impact.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
Many thanks.
Your next question is from Rodrigo Mora of Moneda. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I don't know if you can you hear me, please?
Yes, Rodrigo.
Okay. Well, thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. Please let me help with this. The first one is, I would like to understand why is the reason that the company has making an impairment of coal stockpile. The second question is related to distribution business. I would like to know is as today Enel Distribución can cut the service to customers that have high consumption. I mean, I read an interview of CEO of Enel Distribución that mentioned that some customers that consume around 500 kilowatt hours per month, which means it's a huge consume, more than 2.5 times the average of consumption, didn't pay the bill. So I would like to understand why the company cannot cut or the company is able to cut the service to those kind of consumers. Finally, I would like to understand the impact of the EBITDA of the free customer business that Enel Generación bought to Enel Distribución last year. I think there is a translate of EBITDA
from Enel Distribución to Enel Generación.
Thank you.
Hi, Rodrigo. I will take the second question and leave the number to Giuseppe. So let me give you some colors on this, because your question is very interesting. I like it very much, because you see that if you look at the concession area of Santiago, and we look at residential, we have an average consumption in the range of 220-230 kilowatt hour per month. This is the average consumption. And what you are referring to are domestic clients. I'm referring clearly to domestic clients. Domestic clients that has a consumption higher than 1,000 kilowatt hour per month. Or you can also talk about clients that have consumption higher than 750 kilowatt hour per month. So our domestic clients that have this kind of consumption that is supposed to be domestic clients, residential clients, with a high regime of life, let me say. And we have a interesting number of these clients that today are not paying. And the point is that according to also the second issuing of the label, the basic service law, we cannot cut the service to them, because we are not allowed to cut service to any residential client. So this is the situation. What we are asking in this review is also to focus the help, the support, and also the ability to the action of not cutting off to the clients that are defined as vulnerable. That today is 60% of the clients that are in the list, the report of the Registro Social de Logares for sharing the concept in the Chilean concept, plus other clients that are hospitals. Clients that are lost their job, or clients with an age higher than, if I remember correctly, 65 or 70 years. So these are the clients that today are defined as vulnerable, that can access to certain agreements with certain conditions, with no interest, with no anticipation, and the number of quotes that can go up to 36, according to the current law. But we cannot allow to cut other residential domestic clients. That's the law. And this is what we are asking to change, among others, because there are some other elements that clearly need to be fixed.
Okay, hi, Rodrigo. For what concerns the impairment, the point is that we are following the same accounting treatment that we made at the end of last year when we made the impairment of the asset. So considering that the coal facility is going to be used in a very unique way, basically, and the value of the facility is only the land, every time that we have been provide the services to the system, we need to be the call. And every quarter, when we look at the stock that we have in our book, and we made the impairment. This is just an accounting treatment again, I will repeat, that is in line with what we made last year. For what concerns the impact of the three customers that move from distribution to generation, okay, clearly at the level of Enel Chile, no effect, because it's just a moving from one side to the other side. What I can tell you is that last year the margin of this contract was last year in the first Q was around $6 million.
Sorry, Giuseppe, if I understood, the impairment of coal stockpile is not the coal itself, it's the coal facility.
No,
right?
No, the coal stocks, you know, the inventory.
The stock. But the stock, yeah. The company is going to use this stock, burn it during all this year until May of the next year. Why should make an impairment?
I will explain. Basically, you know, the facility, you know, the Bocamina plants has to provide the service. So every time that the system is going to call Bocamina has to produce, okay? Of course, in order to be ready to produce, we need to have the coal. And so we buy the coal in order to be ready to provide the service. Now, which is the point? Every quarter, we see how much inventory we have in terms of coal, and considering the fact that Bocamina has a value equal to zero because we have already impaired the full amount of the asset, the remaining, what is remaining in terms of stock has to be impaired. Okay, so we need to bring to zero the amount that the stock of the coal. The following month, again, if needed, we're gonna buy other coal. Okay, we provide the services if we have been called by the system, and at the end of June, we repeat the exercise. So we look at how much is the remaining coal in our stock, and we make the payment. And this continue because of that, because, you know, the treatment and the assumption is that Bocamina is the facility that is there waiting for being called by the system, okay? So basically, no value, Bocamina as the asset doesn't have any kind of value right now, except for the land, as we said, right? This is the reason.
Okay, sorry, and the second answer, respect to the free customer business from distribution to generation, you said that last year the EBITDA margin was $6 million?
Yes.
Or this first quarter?
No, last year was $6 million.
Okay. Well, look, I have another question is related to all the process of the transmission, the valuation of the transmission asset of now Enel Transmisión. I would like to know what is the current situation of the preliminary report released by the National Commission of Energy, and what are the following steps that the company has to make reply the valorization. Could you give us some idea about this process and the impact that could have over Enel Transmisión?
The comments that we can provide comments to this preliminary report, and the deadline for these comments is the 18th of May. So by that time we are providing our comments, because we have comments on this report. Then
the regulator will collect comments from any parts that are involved in the process, and then we'll publish the definitive report. Once we have analyzed the reports, we make our, let's say, consideration, and if the case, in case of discrepancy, we go to the panel of the experts. So this is the process. Clearly, today we cannot, let's say, this is the process. So we are acting according to the deadline that was in front of us.
Okay, please, just two short questions. One of if you could give us some idea of the evolution of the electricity demand in Enel Distribución during last April, last month. And second question is related to the volatility of availability of natural gas from Argentina during the first quarter. Some Argentinian friends said to me that CAMMESA used all the natural gas and instead of export, use all the natural gas to produce electricity and export to Brazil. So I didn't know if some contracts, there were some contracts between Enel Generación and some gas Argentinian gas producers that maybe were not accomplished during the first quarter.
As I mentioned in my speech, the situation with the Argentina gas was very complex. The end of last year and the first months of this year. That is that the problem was and is that this is the season when Chile usually imports gas from Argentina, and this lack required to use different sources during this period, and so created this imbalance also in the reservoir at the beginning of 2021. The availability during the first quarter was very, very low, I would say negligible. So we cannot support the generation or the use of CCGT that we have in the central areas. So we have to act in a different way, so to act in the spot market in order to have certain supply through shipping of LNG. You know, because then we have our plan regarding the delivery of the ship through our agreement with Shell that started already, so we are receiving regularly the gas that we need for our plan. So the problem was the Argentina gas. You mentioned correctly one event that the use of gas has been, let's say, to produce an electricity to be sold to Brazil. That's correct. That's the same information that we had. And there was also some other problems regarding the basin of Vaca Muerta. So at the very end, the availability of gas was negligible for everybody. I would say zero. The expectation for the next season is that this availability should start again. Let's see if this we are. This was the information that we have at the time being. Regarding the first question, honestly, I would not comment. We are focusing on the first of the first quarter, and then we will see the resume. Of this evolution in the next call.
Thank you for
the Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Operator, do we have more questions on the line?
Yes, we still have one more from Sebastian Ramirez of Banchili. Your line is open.
Hi guys, many thanks for the presentation. I got two questions. One is that I was keen to understand what are you expecting in terms of difference between injections and withdrawal within generation, given the large amount of renewables that is entering into the system? Do you see that any congestion that could be meaningful in terms of results going forward, and where do we will see those congestions being manifested the most within the your full operations? And then I got another one.
Well, you can say the both, Sebastian.
Okay, no worries. The other one is in regards kind of a midterm expectations for CapEx going forward, rather than the what we are observing within the plan. What should we should be a mid to long term sustainable CapEx, and what should we think in terms of growth going forward ahead of what we already have as a projection on the numbers and industrial plan? Should we think that that level of CapEx should be maintained for longer than what the investor plan suggests, or then should we converge to the maintenance CapEx level? That will be from my side.
Okay, thank you, Sebastian. Paolo?
Okay, regarding the injection, what I would like to comment is that position of our clients and the generation and supply of our electricity, because the position of our client is spread not only all concentrated in the center, it is all, we have also important contracts in the north that is closer to our generation facility, especially the solar and the renewable generation facility. So we do not expect, we do not see a strong effect of bottlenecks in the injection, and so the difference between the injection and the withdrawal of price, especially considering that we have large control in mine sector in the north. Regarding the midterm expectation, honestly, what we see, we are going on with our investment plan. We finalize the first tranche, let me say, of our project within the next month. Hopefully, by the end of this year, maybe some modules can go further on the next early months of 2022, and we continue to invest in order to, let's say, get our target, that is 2.4 gigawatts of renewable capacity by 2023, and in line with the expectation of CapEx. We do not see any change in terms of, let's say, investment in our plan.
Perfect. Very clear. Many thanks.
Thank you, Sebastian. Operator, do we have more questions on the line? Otherwise, I go through the chat now.
Another questions at this time, and I would like to turn it back to Isabella Clemens. Ma'am, please continue.
Okay, so we have several questions here in the chat. I will try to resume here because some of them they are similar. So thank you all, Tomas, Alex, and Nedir as well. So the first question here is to elaborate a little more on the consumption drop we saw in residential and commercial segments in the distribution business. I think here we have already touched this basis, and now also the other question is why we saw increase in the customer base on the line of tools, what we call here the peages on the NL distribution. Also on distribution, we have some questions on lady services básicos that we have already touched base here. So from Tomas Gonzalez, and Tomas is asking here regarding the latest services básicos, if all the uncollectibles were already provisioned, and given the political noise to reduce the debt exposure to low-income customers, is there a risk of an distribution to be forced to make a reaching off of part of or totality of the uncollectibles? If the National Energy Commission released its preliminary report on transmission tariff process with a negative impact on the transmission business, and what is this impact? So transmission, I think we also have covered base. So I think just to conclude here, Paolo and Giuseppe on the distribution side on the demand, why we have a decrease on the demand during the quarter, and about the PFAS or the tools in distribution.
Regarding the demand in the quarter, let's say that clearly there is the impact. Having the concessionary of Santiago and considering, let's say, the way in which the situation of CODI has been managed, and considering also that certain areas have been put in lockdown or with a limited activity, we had less recover in the commercial sector. That has been sustained partially by the residential consumption. So this is what we had seen in the first quarter. Regarding clearly compared to the first quarter of 2020, yes, the debt figures have been only limited affected by the pandemic. Regarding the other question was related to the write-off. Clearly, today we are acting and we are following the evolution of the basic service law according to what we have been informed. So we go through the common discussion and the available discussion and the available information that we receive. So the information is based on the renewal with new deadlines of the current basic service law. And so then we have expectation in terms of state participation in recovering this situation. So this is what I can comment. I don't have honestly any further information to comment on.
Okay. Thank you, Paolo. And to conclude here, we have less questions related to the guidance. And the investor is asking if we could give more color on the plan to cutting costs and offset the headwinds that we have seen during the first quarter, and if you can comment on this. Thank you, Paolo and Giuseppe. So this is the last question.
Yeah, what I can comment is that we are reviewing clearly all the, let's say, efficiencies that the efficiency plan that we put in place, because this is under other control. So this is something that we act on. Clearly, there are other external elements that are, let's say, we cannot control, like, as I mentioned before, the drought city, and also the evolution of the demand, the shape of the recovery that we can expect in terms of Chilean economy. Regarding the internal activity, on top of the efficiency in the general and the broad sense, in the sense that we are looking at each business line, each activity that can be optimized in order to recover the situation that clearly has been complex in the first quarter, and we try to, let's say, to rebalance with this kind of internal action.
Okay, so thank you, Paolo. So I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. So any other remaining questions you may have, so the investor relations team will be at your disposal. Thank you very much and have a nice week. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.